Before I get started, I just wanted to tell you about a book that I thought was really good. It was written in 2001, a long time ago, but they keep bringing it back and bringing it back because it impacted women so much. The book is called Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. I don't know if you've heard about that book. It's Nancy DeMoss, Wigglesmorth, or whatever her new name is. And just a great book. This book explores common lies that women believe, lies that can lead to guilt, fear, replaced priorities, distorted self-worth, and emotional bondage, and then counters each with a biblical truth that leads to spiritual freedom. So I just encourage you with that book. As I've been preparing for this message on truth and lies, the Lord has shown me Psalm 139, 1 through 6. And he really revealed to me the heart of the psalmist, and I wanted that to be my heart as well. He said, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. And you understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me." Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't even understand it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're not a God who is far off, that you're intimately acquainted with each one of us, Lord, and that purity of heart and tongue and mind and thoughts comes from intimacy with you. I just thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross. You didn't want to leave us with a God who was far off, but you wanted to live right inside of us. And so I pray this morning that as I share these words that you've given me, Lord, that they would speak, that they would pass the intellect, and that they would go to the heart. Lord, we want to be transformed into the image of Christ. It's my life's goal. And so I pray you do a work in all of us this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 1:23. I love, first of all, let me just say, Proverbs is one of my favorite books. James is one of my favorite books. I think they're the two most corrective books in the Bible. And that's because I'm so stinking ornery. I am ornery. You guys are all probably much better than me. I give Gary a hard time. I give the Lord a hard time, but I will never quit. I will fight the good fight of faith, just like Paul said. Proverbs 1:23 says, "Turn to my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you." And that's what you girls are doing. By showing up here every week, by doing your homework, by really listening to the word as you read it and not just doing it academically. Wow, you can claim that promise as you study Proverbs this year. As we spend time in the book of Proverbs, it can truly change our lives when we slow down and make each passage personal. The words begin to take root and feel as if they're speaking directly to us. Can I get an amen? Is that happening for you? The Word of God, it's almost like it lights up off the page, and the Holy Spirit says, "That one's for you, Meef." My prayer is that you won't rush through it, but instead pause, reflect, and really live in the book of Proverbs this year. As we sit with its wisdom and meditate on its meaning, it becomes a part of who we are. We're miraculously being transformed. We move from simply reading God's word to actively living in it. we become active participants in our own God story because we're inviting him in. We're not just trying to do it on our own. We're inviting him in as we read his word. Someone said this, I don't know who it was because it was anonymous, but when I pray, I talk to God. And when I read my Bible, God talks to me. Isn't that good? God is always teaching, healing, and forgiving. It's quite the adventure. The word for that adventure is called sanctification. And we never hear that word anymore, hardly at all. It's the act of making us holy. The grace of God purifying our affections and separating us from sin and the things that would cause pain and hurt and anxiety in our life. John 17:17 says, sanctify them. Jesus actually prayed this. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. You are being sanctified this year as you read God's word and allow it to speak to you. Philippians 2:12-13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God who works, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So as we're reading our Bible, as we're really listening to what Proverbs says, God is working in us, and then we are to work out what we learn from him. God's word in us and, God works in us, and we work out our salvation. Every one of us in this room is tempted to lie. And if you say you're not, you're a liar. I can't tell you how this busted me this week, because I'm kind of a happy person, excited person. I could tend to exaggerate. And then Gary says, well, you know, we're talking on the way back from Big Bear, and he says, we got to get back on Whole 30. And I said, no, I'm doing fine. Gary, I'm 132. And I wasn't. I'm 133. I hear I am teaching on lying, and I'm lying to my husband. Anyway. I'm going to be honest, it's not a fun study, this one. It wasn't a fun study for me. I got pretty convicted with this one. Jeremiah 9:3 says, they bend their tongue like the bow. And I think of politicians when I think of this. They bend their tongue like a bow. Lies, not truth, prevail in the land. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. People who continually lie do not know the Lord. I mean, we all are tempted to lie. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But people who just, like politicians, who just lie for greed, they don't know the Lord. Jordan Peterson is one of my favorite psychologists. I don't know if you know him or not. I consider myself, and this isn't even a real thing, so beware, a Christian psychologist. I use God's word as the therapy. And so Jordan Peterson is an incredible psychologist. I have a lot of respect for him. And I do believe he's coming to Christ. He says there are two pathways through life. Two pathways through life. Oh, I didn't write the other part of the sentence. Oh, here it is. Taking the easy way out or telling truth. Those are not merely two different choices. Taking the easy way out or telling the truth. Those are not just two different choices. They are two different pathways to life. We have to learn to walk in truth and live in truth. He also says, when you have something to say, silence is a lie. And I think as Christians in 2025, We need to hear this. We need to start standing up for the gospel and for the truth. We are so afraid to speak the truth in 2025 that kids are growing up thinking they can change their gender. How did we get, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and he made them male and female. How have we gotten so far from that? Or they can identify as a cat at school. Ladies, we need to tell the truth. We fight to save the whales, But we think killing babies is okay. We live in an upside-down world that needs the absolute simple truth of the gospel and the Bible. Failing to speak up when truth matters is not being neutral. It's allowing falsehood to harm, to persist by not confronting it with honesty. I am so grateful that the Ten Commandments are coming back. Are you guys excited about that? Do you hear it? Are you seeing it on Facebook? I only know Facebook. But I'm saying that the schools are bringing the Ten Commandments back on the East. I'm from the East Coast. And often when you pass graveyards or anything, there is a stone thing about half as big as a stage sometimes that has the Ten Commandments on it. I am so grateful for coming back. Thou shalt not bear false witness is number 9. That's what we're going to learn about today. These are not suggestions. They are commandments from a holy God who only has our best interests at heart. And telling the truth is very important. Lying creates instability and psychosis. And here's a great quote that I like. Simplicity of the gospel and God's truth. Simplicity is freedom. Duplicity is bondage. Isn't that good? If you're trying to live two lives and you're lying and not being who you really are, that's bondage. I remember when I was a young pastor's wife on the East Coast, Gary and I had started a church back there, and a little girl from my church, she was probably about 7 or 8, came up to me and she said, "Miss Meef, when my mom and dad take me to a restaurant," no, she must have been 12 or 13. "When my mom and dad take me to a restaurant, is it okay that they ask me to lie and say that I'm younger than I am?" I said, "No, it's not okay. That's a sin. Your mom and dad are sinning. That's a lie." And I said, "And if I were you, I would always tell the truth." But we're tempted, right, ladies? I know I was when my kids were young and I didn't have any money. I know that we are tempted to not walk in truth, but that creates bondage. Because every time we lie, it ties a knot in our soul. And then all of a sudden, we're filled with anxiety and fear and things like that, and we don't even really know why. It's because we're not walking in truth. Ezekiel 11:19 says, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my ways. Then they will be my people, and I will be their God." We receive a pure heart that longs to please him. And when we walk in intimacy with him, in purity with him, we have peace. John 18:37 says, "For this I have been born." Oh, I love this one. I just found this one, and I've been reading the Bible for 47 years. Jesus said this, "For this I have been born." Now, do you wonder why was Jesus born? Wonder why what he would say. Why did he come? Why was he born? "For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify of truth." The whole reason he came, to testify of truth, to set us free from the lies and deception of the enemy and to save us from lies and deception. Everyone, Jesus said, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And that's what you're doing by being faithful to your women's Bible study. We are all in process of being transformed into the image of Christ. We all struggle with telling the truth. Even Paul said, in Romans 7:19, "The good that I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing." Even Paul, the apostle, thought that. "I find that the evil present within me," there is evil present within me, the one who wants to do good. Paul didn't pretend he was perfect. He didn't walk around pretending he was perfect. He confessed his sin. He knew how badly he needed Jesus Christ. He knew he needed God's truth and grace. God, truth and grace. That's it, man. Truth, God tells us the truth, and then God's grace to forgive us when we don't live up to it. My favorite parenting verse is 3 John 1:4. I had it on my wall in the happy room where my grandkids sleep when they come over for a long, long time. It says this: I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in truth. Isn't that good? No greater joy. Honestly, me too. I have no greater joy than even my adult children now. They're adults. It happened really fast. John 8:22, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Psalm 86:11-12, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, and I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever." Isn't that good? Walking in truth means living authentically by God's revealed standards. God said it, I do it, that settles it. Don't have to feel like doing it. Probably won't a lot of times. God said it, I do it, I obey, that settles it. And what happens, that's called abiding in Christ, and that's what creates the fruit your soul is longing for. The Bible is so real. Here are some examples of lying in the Bible. The first recorded lie in the Bible was Satan deceiving Eve. "You surely will not die. You will be like God if you eat from that tree." Cain had lied after killing his brother by saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" In other words, he says, "I'm not in charge of him. I didn't do anything wrong." Abraham lied telling Pharaoh Sarah was his sister. Jacob lied by deceiving his father Isaac to steal the blessing. Joseph's brothers lied, presenting a bloody coat to Jacob, insinuating that Joseph was dead. Peter lied and denied the Lord three times. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the apostles about selling the land in the New Testament. I love that the Bible is full of real people, don't you? They're just like us, imperfect people that need a Savior. Why do we lie? Wonder why? Why do we lie? I was thinking about it. What makes us lie? Well, first of all, we live in a world full of lies, so sometimes we don't even realize we're lying because the lying world has so infiltrated us. But usually, it's self-preservation or personal gain. That's why we would lie. So, what happens when we choose to live in lies and depths of deception? What happens? The Bible teaches that God is truth and hates lies, viewing them as sinful and destructive. While walking in truth is essential for fellowship with God and freedom. The Bible says the nearness of God is your good. When we lie, we separate ourselves from him. In 2025, lying seems to be acceptable behavior if it gets you what you want. That's what I see with the politicians. But in the kingdom of God, lying is taken very seriously. Lying is sinful. Proverbs 12:22. I think this was in your homework. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Lying separates you from God. When you live in falsehood, your soul begins to drift away from the Lord, and you feel it. Guilt and shame take root, and you no longer sense his presence in your life. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must walk in truth. That's John 4:24. Lies will eventually impact your health, increase the hormonal stress levels in your blood, destroy your self-worth, and ruin your relationships. Lying increases anxiety and psychosis because you will live in constant fear of being found out. You will not have strong relationships that build the safety and security you long for. Numbers 32:23 says, "You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." That's another good parenting verse for you young girls. I had this one on my refrigerator when my kids were little. Your sins will find you out. I had one time, one of my kids had turned into a teenager, and we belonged to a community pool. And so she thought she was away from her parents now and could do whatever she wanted. But I was the pastor's wife. And a little girl came up to me at church and said, "Hey, I saw blank smoking a cigarette at the pool." And so your sins will find you out. Your character will eventually speak louder than your words, ladies. That's why we need to maintain intimacy with Jesus Christ. That's why I hunger and thirst for righteousness, because I am a fool. Apart from him, I am a fool. And I make terrible mistakes and say ridiculous things. But your character will speak louder than your words eventually. John 8:44 says that Satan is the father of lies. We ought to avoid lying for no other reason than that. Revelation, this is the harshest one. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly and unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. Wow. Now we know we have an advocate that if we make a mistake, not living in lies, but if we make a mistake, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. That very, I had to confess and cleanse. I weigh 133. You know what I mean? I don't want anything to get between me and Jesus. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if we say we have fellowship with him and we continue to walk in lies, that we're lying and we're not walking in truth. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in truth, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, not only with him, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So what happens when we walk in truth? What does that freedom look like? Walking in truth means living with integrity, honesty, and consistency between your beliefs and your actions. Aligning your life with biblical principles to experience a deeper joy, a deeper love, and a deeper purpose. And becoming a light for others, reflecting God's character in your daily words, life, and choices, even when it's difficult. It's practicing what you preach, leading to spiritual growth, inner peace, and a life marked by grace and faithfulness rather than hypocrisy and falsehood. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that changes everything. You begin to live according to the Bible, applying the gospel's truth to your daily behavior and making choices that reflect God's will and not your own. You experience a deeper joy and freedom from sin as you walk in truth, the truth that Jesus taught. Your inner beliefs and your outer actions become one, creating a great stability and eliminating internal conflict, anxiety, and hypocrisy. You become a positive influence in your world, letting the light of Christ shine through you. Your life is built on a firm, immovable foundation, rather than the unstable, changing times around us. But choosing not to lie and to stand in truth will not be easy. It's going to take everything you've got. George Orwell said, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Amen? In 2025, telling the truth, you can get killed for it. Jesus died for the truth he taught. He never compromised. And so did Charlie Kirk. And 11 of the 12 disciples were martyred because of the truth they taught. And because it was lies and truth and standing in truth this week that we were teaching on, I thought I would share a story. Some of you probably have heard this story before, but it's one of the times in my life it was the hardest place for me to stand in truth and not compromise. I was scared. I was shaking. I was by myself, and I had been asked to be considered for jury duty for a federal drug dealing case in San Diego. And so I went down to the federal building. There was about 38 or 40 of us jurors in the place. And they were interviewing us to see, the lawyers were interviewing us to see which ones they thought would be best to make their case, or so that they could pull off their lie or whatever they were doing. And so they asked us questions, and I had a juror number. I told them that I was a pastor's wife, that I studied the Bible and taught the Bible and women's ministry, and I told them who I was. And so everybody else went around saying who they were. There was psychologists there. There were teachers there. There were construction workers. There were men, all kinds of people. And we all had a number. And so then they sent us all out of the room. And we're all standing out there. And then they brought us back in. And one of the, they told us the case was it was a drug dealer who was bringing drugs into the United States from Mexico. And he was a homosexual. So they ask, once we were back in the room, is there anyone in this room who believes that a sexual relationship between two men is wrong? So I raised my hand, and I was in the front row. I don't think anybody else raised their hand. It just went up, you know what I mean? Yep, that's wrong, you know what I mean? Just because of who I am. Christ in me would raise his hand, right? And so I raised my hand, and so then the lawyer said to the bailiff, please go give her the microphone. Yeah. And I'm watching this little girl in the black outfit come walking over toward me. And she hands me the microphone. And I said, what do you want me to say? And so she looked up at the lawyer, and the lawyer said, we'd like for you to expound on that. So I did. I told him that I believed in Jesus Christ, that I'd been studying the Bible for 46 years, that that's where I get my values and my principles from, and that the Bible's very clear that a sexual relationship between two men is immoral, it's wrong. You know, I'm acting all brave up here, but my knees were knocking, and I'm trying to talk into the microphone, you know? And so then they sent us out they sent us all out again. And I'm standing there, and all these people, 38 people, are just looking at me. And I thought, oh my gosh, Mief, what have you done? You're in downtown San Diego. You have to walk to your car by yourself. You know? So what did I do? I called Chris. I was like, Chris, please pray for me. I think I may have done something really stupid, and I'm kind of afraid, and blah, blah, blah. And so she prayed with me. It was good. And then I went back into the room, and immediately they dismissed me from the jury duty. But that wasn't easy. That was hard, and I was afraid. I was afraid someone was going to hurt me because I stood where God had me. Is the Lord asking you to be willing to stand in truth at work? Sometimes work can get really, really creepy when you have to obey somebody that's creepy and making you lie or be deceitful. I just encourage you, do it and trust the outcome to him. I felt like God turned on the light in a very dark room that day for a lot of people. And honestly, you know how in your gut you can tell? I knew that the judge was a believer. I knew it. Because the few things he said, I knew he was on my side. I don't always obey, but that day I did. I was shaken pretty bad and scared to go to my car. But I stood where God had me, in truth. James 1:8 says that a double-minded woman is unstable in all of her ways. I don't want to be unstable. I had enough of that before I met Jesus Christ. I didn't know up from down, right from wrong. I didn't have much parenting in my life as a teenager. I didn't want to be unstable. A double-minded woman is unstable in all of her ways. I'd had enough of that darkness and compromise before I met Jesus. I want to walk in truth and experience the fullness of God's blessing on my life, no matter the cost. No matter the cost, I want to know that I stood for Jesus, just like Charlie and the disciples. 46 years of studying the Bible, I will not be deceived or live a lie. When you stand in truth, you stand on a solid rock that never moves. The hardest person to tell the truth to when I'm trying to live in truth is myself. I don't know about you. I can rationalize sinning like nobody else. But Lord, if I did this, then that person won't get hurt. Or if I say this, then things won't go that way. Ephesians 4:15 says, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried away by every word of doctrine, by craftiness or deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all specs unto him who is the head, even Christ. As we learn to walk in truth and speak the truth in love, we're actually growing up and becoming more like Christ. But Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is so deceitful, who can know it? Right? And we're all exactly the same. I can only stand up here and talk like this because I know you guys are just like me. And when there's none perfect, no, not one. And we all need a Savior. Here are the lies I'm struggling with, even at this moment, after loving Jesus for 47 years. I could still hang out with those people and have a friendship with them, and they won't influence me. I can avoid praying and reading the Bible, and I will still experience the abundant life that God promised. If I'm being a stinker and I don't want to read the Bible, I can avoid praying or reading the Bible, and I'll still experience the abundant life God promised. I can buy things, even when I know we don't have the money, and my marriage will be fine. Lie, right? See, you're laughing because you do it too. That's why you laughed. I can neglect my husband and live selfishly in my marriage and have a marriage filled with God's love. I can neglect my husband, just become roommates, and I will have a marriage filled with God's love. I can talk way too much and not get in any trouble with my tongue. I can eat anything I want and still maintain a very healthy lifestyle. I can be selfish and not serve at my church or get involved, and I will have wonderful Christian friends. They're lies. They're all lies. The place where I struggle with lying to myself the most, the place where I struggle with lying the most is to myself. And that's why I have to be in God's word every day, washing my mind with truth and the biblical principles. I want my life built on the biblical principles that Jesus taught and not on my own craftiness or deceitfulness. Truth leads to freedom and growth, while lies lead to instability, confusion, and destruction. Jesus identified himself as the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:6. And the third person of the Trinity is described as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, who guides believers into all truth. We live in a world full of lies, and that we can't escape. The biggest lie that I think people tell themselves is nothing is ever their fault. Well, it's not my fault, it's his fault. If he wasn't this way, blah, 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 right? Nothing is ever our fault. Nothing will stunt your Christian walk like blame shifting and not being willing to tell yourself the truth. It started in the garden. Eve blamed the snake, and Adam blamed the woman God gave him. Psychology has us blaming everybody and everything instead of taking personal responsibility for our lives and choices. And I just wanted to read you one of my favorite poems. I read this poem in my psychology class in nursing school. I think I surprised them. It's called Jolly Old Sigmund Freud. I went to my psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed, to find out why I killed the cat and blackened my husband's eyes. He laid me on a downy couch to see what he could find. So this is what he dredged up from my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mommy hid my dolly in a trunk, and so it follows naturally that I am always drunk. When I was two, I saw my father kiss the maid one day, and that is why I suffer now from kleptomania. At three, I had feelings of ambivalence towards my brothers, and so it follows naturally I poison all my lovers. But I am happy. Now I've learned the lesson this has taught, that everything I do that's wrong is someone else's fault. What psychology teaches is not what the Bible teaches. We will stand before God one-on-one, and we can't blame anyone else for the life that we live. Truth is, we are just as wicked as the person we want to blame. By the grace of God, there go I. We are all the same. And you'll only get stunted if you're in the blame game and you're blaming your parents for the life that you have as an adult. You need to stop and take responsibility for where you want your life to go. We will only experience God's love and forgiveness to the degree that we offer it to others. And that begins by telling ourselves the truth. Psalm 15, 1 through 2 says this: O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? And then he answers, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. And when the Lord spoke that verse to me, he said, the one who tells herself the truth, that's the one that's going to get close to me. That's the one I'm going to draw near to. Not one who's trying to blame everything in her life on someone else. Are you abiding in his tent and dwelling in his holy hill? Do you sense the presence of God in your life? Or are you really hiding from God and just going through the motions? If you feel stuck, maybe you need to get honest with God, so that he can give you wisdom. Here's one, I think this was in your homework, but this is my very favorite verse about truth. Psalm 51:6, you desire truth in the innermost being. I can lie to everybody else, but don't lie to God. You desire truth in the innermost being. And in the hidden person, he will make you know wisdom. If you get down and do business with God, whatever's going on in your life, if you get down and get serious and tell him what's going on, confess your sins and your pain and your hurt and your sorrow, whatever, he promises he's going to give you wisdom. He's going to show you the way out. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before God and he will lift you up. Don't live in pretense. Don't live in lies. Humble yourself before God. Just get bare naked honest with him. And then ask him to reveal himself to you. My sister posted this on Facebook this week, and I thought it was so profound. Her life has not been easy, and she could have every right to blame everybody and their brother for the way her life has turned out. I thought there was so much wisdom in her words that I wanted to share it with you as we end. Her name is Betty, and she says this. If there is an issue that you are struggling with, and you really believe that someone or some change holds the key to the solution, stop and ask God for his opinion. And then spend time searching the word for his answer. When things change inside you, things change around you. The real solution to the problem could lay right in your own hands. He will show you the truth, and only the truth will set you free. The person or situation may not be the problem. The problem may live within you, and it is you who needs to believe it, receive it, and repent. There's nothing like the peace that comes from facing the truth. Realizing the solution is in your control and humbling yourself before God. Because I know her, because I know the pain and suffering that she's had in your life, those words were so powerful to me. So I just want to encourage you, as we're studying lies and truth, get honest, get real with God. Maybe even today, if you're stuck and you can't seem to get past it, ask the Lord to show you what's going on in your soul. And maybe close your eyes. Maybe you could pray something like this. Lord, I want to walk in truth, but I know that my heart is desperately wicked and likes to hide from the truth. I don't want to walk in deception and lies. I want to be conquered by you, living in truth and walking in freedom. I pray that if there is anything blocking the flow of your power and separating me from you, that you would reveal it to me and help me to stand in the light of your presence, cleansed by your blood, rescued by your grace, and experience the freedom from sin that only you can give. Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for your word, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help us. I pray for every girl in this room, Lord. Give her the courage to be honest with you. Give her the courage to hear what she needs to hear so that she can make changes and start walking in the light and walking in truth. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for going to the cross for us, Lord. I thank you for telling me the truth. Thank you for telling me that I was a wretched sinner that needed a Savior. Thank you for this time, and thank you, Lord. We love you, we worship you, and we praise you. May our table time bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.